Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, the legend, Evan Jenkins, and we're talking about the Tigers and their minor league system and what's happening. We're all about drafts. We're all about prospects. We're all about the future. Check us out here coming up. We got the MLB draft, the NHL draft, and the NBA draft all coming up here soon. As Evan and I like to say, our time of the season. But the Tigers, their minor league system's been underway here for a couple months. We've seen a number of things. And Evan, I think one of their players deserves a promotion. And I think the major league club needs to go into a different direction than what they've been because they've struggled offensively for the most part this year. And that player is Justin Henry Molloy. I think the major issue that the organization has had with their offseason is, hey, they made a mistake about DH. They should have gotten a professional hitter for DH rather than this situation where A.J. Hinch needs lineup flexibility. And I think Justin Henry Molloy is OPS over 900, his on-base percentage at over 400. They need to have somebody that can get on base and be a professional hitter. I understand he is not a fast runner at all, and he is very defensively challenged, but why not bring him up and put him in the lineup at DH on a regular basis and see what happens? He's proven that he can hit Triple-A pitching. He's proven he can get on base. It's a little bit different because they don't have the automatic strike zone in the major leagues, and they use it quite a bit in the minor leagues, and it's a lot tighter. But his ability to get on base and show strike zone discipline is everything Scott Harris talks about all the time. Why isn't he up?
So that was actually going to be the question that I had for you. Why? What do you think is actually holding him back? You mentioned the speed. You mentioned the defense. But if they're looking for a bat, the rest of that is kind of irrelevant, isn't it?
Absolutely, with the DH spot wide open. Meadows didn't make it, at least so far, in center field. And it's unlikely he'll be up for a while. He didn't hit 100. So that has moved the outfield position into a different realm where Kerry Carpenter plays every day. So why don't they use a full-time DH if it's somebody who can straight out hit? The one thing I thought they should have done during the offseason when it came down to signing a veteran player, when the market especially showed that J.D. Martinez was available, was sign him or a similar type of player. Or make a trade right now to try to find somebody who can hit in that DH spot. It's right under their nose, perhaps, in Justin Henry Molloy.
Well, and I was going to say, just on Wednesday morning, they put Kerry Carpenter on the IL for spine inflammation or something like that. Nothing that sounded great, and they called up Akil Badu, obviously, because they still need that outfield position. But at some point, like, we already know what we're getting out of Akil Badu, right?
No, we don't. He could be a pretty good hitter. He's improved. He's had some time now to really develop his game, and he may come through for him. I don't think he's going to hit like Kerry Carpenter was, and that's going to hurt them. But I do look at the DH situation, and it doesn't matter. You still need that spot. And so Badu would basically take the position of Kerry Carpenter. It involves, you got somebody that you traded for, that you gave up a veteran pitcher for, and he has paid his dues in the minor leagues. He certainly seems ready. If he's ever going to be ready, it's now. And if you ever needed him for the position that you have, because maybe in the offseason they go out and get a bat, is give him a chance. He could help the Tigers right now. I think he belongs up. Badu has gone down and done what he's supposed to do. He's shown more strike zone discipline. He's getting on base more than he did. He's definitely an athletic player who can steal bases and do certain things. I think the there was a little bit of a knucklehead factor after he had that first year. You and I actually discussed that a little bit because you're in the realm of memorabilia and you understand certain things about Akil Baddoo, which we were very much right on about. But looking at it right now, Evan, I would bring up Justin Henry Molloy and see what he can do. And maybe, you know, move on from a player or two that they put in every day. There's a couple candidates there, particularly Zach McKinstry. I know he's a left-handed hitting utility player, but a lot of what with Ibanez up, a lot of what he does, you can have somebody. You don't have a backup shortstop. That's a bit of an issue if you were to do that. But they're in a position where they really could use Justin Henry Molloy. One way or another, find a way to get him up here.
Do you think that we will see him before July, in your opinion?
I don't know. I really don't. Like the situation with Jace Young, he may be ready at some point. I don't think he's really taken off the way they want. And defensively, he's made a few too many errors. I mean, he's made 8 errors at third base in 270-some innings. His fielding percentage there is in the 800s. I know it's not all about fielding percentage, but you have to secure the routine play, and he hasn't done that. So but with Justin Henry Molloy, there's no reason to keep him down there. I mean, you have a spot for him. It is DH, you know. And I mentioned McKinstry. The only reason he's around is he can back up shortstop with Javi Baez if something happens, and he doesn't play every day, but. Truthfully, they need to figure out a way to get Molloy up here.
Do you think the Tigers, and I'm going to look for a simple answer, and it might not be a simple question, but do you think that they value defense more than they do offense?
No. I think they want all-around players like everybody else. They don't want defensive liabilities. But the one thing that nobody values is somebody who makes a lot of errors and plays sloppy baseball, and they've been doing that too much here lately.
Yeah, the only reason I ask that is, you know, they're Scott Harris, A.J. Hinch, Greenberg, whoever decides to talk for the Tigers, they're always going to be asked about Javier Baez. And that's the reason why I ask it, because their answer is always Baez's defense is irreplaceable. You know what I mean? And at some point, you got to look at, is it replaceable if he can't hit at all?
I would release Javi Baez. I think Javi Baez is somebody that, and I would try to find a replacement-level shortstop. Look, Evan, these teams have huge staffs of analytics people. They have huge staffs of scouts. Now, I follow it very closely, all the different teams. For a media guy, but I'm one media guy doing a number of different things. Their job is to find a replacement level player to play shortstop and release Javi Baez, in my opinion. Find somebody, acquire somebody for that position and move on from it. He's a bad example. You know, they talk about leadership by example. He's a bad example with the way he plays the game. He does everything they don't want in their hitters to do. All right, everything. And defensively, he's right now he's a replacement level defensive player. He has played a 0-0 war defensively. His range numbers are bad this year. All right, so his arm strength is at 66%. His range is below average, according to Baseball Savant. And so defensively, he's not a standout. And you're paying somebody $25 million to lose games for you. All right? And the big factor with the Tigers is the teams that are in their division that are beating them right now, Cleveland. They've got one high-priced player, Jose Ramirez. He's a great player.
Better than Barry Bonds, he says.
Yeah, well, he's pretty damn good.
I know he is.
And Kansas City has one, and that's Salvador Perez. And he's an all-star and a Hall of Famer and still playing at a high level at 34. The Tigers have Javi Baez. All right? Yeah. So, you know, if you're going to have, and they need that, you know, the $20 million or so type player, or a couple of them, actually, at some point here, that's part of what they need. I mean, you need those players. So their guy is losing them games when they play him every day. So what are they doing? I mean, and he may go somewhere else and do real well. But if you think there's going to be some magic turnaround, and I hope there is, but I just don't see it, and I just don't see this great glove. The one thing that Scott Harris said, that interview wasn't even something everybody making a big deal out of. It's a friggin' joke, to be honest with you. Because it was, everything he said was pretty predictable, including about Javi Baez. The one thing I didn't agree with him about was talking about how he still has twitch muscles. His twitch muscles aren't there. But, you know, the weird thing about him, Evan, if you look at his baseball savant grid or whatever you want to call it, is his bat speed is in the top 8th percentile of major league players. His bat speed. Yeah. And it's like, well, what are they measuring it at? I mean, it's like a wind tunnel every time he swings. And every time I rip him, though, he ends up getting a couple hits. So maybe it's a good omen for him.
Well, speaking of need, and then speaking of kind of ripping somebody, when we first talked about Max Clark to start this year, he was in a little bit of a slump. You sent out a tweet.
He was terrible.
Well, you sent out a tweet or a post or whatever the hell we're calling it yesterday, I believe, or maybe it was this morning, talking about Max Clark, and he's performed not as bad as he was early in the year. Isn't that right?
He's been good.
He might have listened to Bustin' Balls and put it on his cleats.
I don't know. He might have, yeah.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Look, I predicted they would take Max Clark, and I talked about Max Clark as a player they should take, so it wasn't like I didn't think he was any good or wouldn't be any good.
Right.
He just seemed overwhelmed by pitching in single-A ball as a 19-year-old. He's adjusted very well. He does take the ball the other way. He does get on base. And what I really like about him is situationally, if there is a runner in scoring position, he finds a way to get him home. He leads the league in RBI. He's got 30 RBI. He's a very good clutch hitter. He's shown exceptional speed on the bases. He gets down to first base very quickly, and he's got a cannon for an arm. The only thing that hasn't developed yet is power. He's only hit a couple home runs and not as many doubles as you'd like. But that'll all come if he just keeps doing what he's doing right now. He's doing very well. McGonagall is doing well. Those two players are pretty good. Paul Wilson, who they got in the third round pitching in the Gulf Coast League, has struggled a little bit. You would expect him to be a little more dominant there. He hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't dominated the way you think. His strikeouts are, you know, less than less than one per inning, and his ERA is 4.50. So, but he's out and he's pitching. So the three players they got in that draft, the high school kids, they're all making progress, but at different levels. McGonagall and Clark will likely be in West Michigan pretty soon, I think.
Can you talk a little bit about McGonagall? Say that name again for me, because it's
Kevin McGonagall.
Yeah, so he's moved up in the Tigers prospect rankings, And I feel like he's a name that not many Tiger fans know. Can you tell us just a little bit about him?
Well, if you listen to Boston Balls, you do.
Well, I'm just saying for the average fan, if you could school him a little bit on what this guy is and what he could bring to the Tigers in the future.
Well, Evan, there's a lot of criticism sometimes about not taking Wyatt Langford and, taking Max Clark and, people wanted a college player. And I understand it. Wyatt Langford went out and just totally tore up in the minor leagues and got to the major leagues very quickly. And he's a pretty talented player. But when they drafted Clark, they paid him a little bit below the slot for there. And that allowed them to sign McGonagall, who was a first-round pick. When they drafted him in the second round, and they signed him away from Auburn. He's got tremendous bat-to-ball skills. He's a left-handed hitter, and he's playing shortstop because they don't have shortstops, but he was a shortstop in high school. And just looking at it, there's so much video of these kids now. I thought he was a pretty good shortstop. He had great mechanics to play the position. So he is somebody that has a high upside. He's somebody that could end up moving fairly quickly because he is refined as a hitter. He's got real good ability to get the barrel to the ball. At some point, will develop some power. So ultimately, when they did that, it allowed them to get two players instead of one in Wyatt Langford. Langford is a good player. I know you could – right now, the way things are now, if a guy has a hot week, people would be like, oh, yeah, he's the greatest player ever. If he doesn't do well – then they'll say he's not good. But Langford, he's been hurt. And he hasn't shown power in the major leagues yet. He has one home run. It was an inside the Parker. But he's going to be pretty good. And as we talk about that draft down through the years, it's going to be about Clark, but it'll also be about McGonagall.
I know one pitcher that we have talked about in the past in AAA is Ty Madden. How has he been doing? I know last time
Terrible.
We spoke, he was struggling. Yep.
He has not responded to going to AAA the way they want. He's had one okay outing. His other outings, he's been not good at all. He's got four starts in. His ERA is over 9. He has not responded the way that I would have anticipated. So far, he's been disappointing there. He should be ready to go to AAA and be on the cusp of the major leagues and perhaps come up and help them a little bit if they, there's like this thought that he would be a good reliever. I've always thought that that was his primary role, maybe in the major leagues, to be a really good reliever that you could call up right away and put him in at situations where, like when Casey Mize couldn't get through the fifth inning the other day, bring him in those situations, and then eventually maybe be a high leverage guy and make a lot of money doing that. But what he's done at Toledo so far, he's had the opportunity and hasn't seized it.
In the second game, the Tigers on Wednesday are playing a doubleheader, and they are calling up a pitcher in Keider Montero, who is making his major league debut. Is there anything we should know about him for Tiger fans? Is he a piece of the future, or is he more or less just a placeholder for a doubleheader?
He has a potential to be a good pitcher, but he is a placeholder for a doubleheader right now. He hasn't pitched as well lately. He started out the year pitching very well, but he has a pretty good arm. He could go out there and give him a pretty good outing. It wouldn't be a surprise, but I don't see him as having the potential upside to necessarily be a top of the rotation pitcher. He would be a bottom of the rotation pitcher or bullpen piece ultimately, but he does have a chance. He's got a good arm. At times he commands the ball well. He has enough quote unquote stuff to pitch in the major leagues. And it's just a matter of when he gets up there, will he command the baseball and get ahead in the count and do the things that successful pitchers do.
Well, Pat, I know you're a huge baseball fan, and this is a podcast about the prospects, the drafts, and the future, and this is not going to pertain to the Tigers, as he is pitching against the Tigers. But as a baseball fan, like I know you are, Paul Skenes, what do you think about him, and will he have longevity? He's essentially what Justin Verlander was in 2008 when he would throw at 100 from pitch one to the last pitch he throws. How impressed are you by him as Tiger fans will get to see him on Wednesday afternoon?
Well, I don't know. We're doing this before the game. You know, if they light them up like a pinball machine, I'll look like an idiot.
I know, but just what you've seen up until this point, because I think it's must watch.
He's the most impressive pitcher I've ever seen. Justin Verlander didn't throw the ball like that. He would touch 100. Paul Skeens is like, he's kind of the pitching version of somebody like, Juan Soto or something. I mean, he's even better than that. He's the best pitcher I've ever seen at that age, at that level. And he kind of came out of nowhere. And he's got a cool mustache. I like it.
I mean, the mustache is great. Is there anybody that we missed up until this
point before? Evan, somebody throws 102 miles an hour routinely and has got nasty slider. And he's this big, athletic, strong dude. And plus, he brings Livy Dunn to the stadium all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's got himself.
He's living that the mustache. Man, he's living better than you when you're over at your golf course there playing golf.
I know.
He's got it made, man. I've never seen a guy have it more made than Paul Skeens. And just a couple years ago, he was like a catcher at Air Force.
Okay, that is wild. I didn't even know that.
He was a catcher at Air Force.
Oh, my God. He must have been like Pudge back there just whipping the balls back to the pitcher.
No, it shows you what baseball's like. I mean, he was a catcher. And then all of a sudden, the only time I've seen this before. Remember Mark Mulder?
Yes.
Pitched for Oakland. He was one of their big three.
Wasn't he a Michigan State Spartan?
Yeah, but he was a first baseman in Hinsdale, Illinois. I think it was Hinsdale. Tigers drafted him in the 57th round when they had the draft go on forever as a first baseman. And he was throwing 82 miles an hour. 2 years later, he started throwing 98 for Michigan State, and yeah, he ended up being the second overall pick in the draft. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it is, and I've seen it with Joel Zamaya was the same thing. When they drafted him, the Tigers, he threw in the low 90s, which was good for a high school pitcher, and there was some development because he was a big, strong dude. Obviously, he starts throwing 100. They're like, oh, yeah, and anybody in development that says that they did that, they're lying.
God, and that was at a time that nobody threw 100. Like,
right.
Nobody
except for
was
Verlander.
Right.
For Verlander. You know, baseball's crazy, man. It's just crazy that way. The human arm, nobody can figure it out.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. But no, I think, do we cover it all for everybody that we need to know about right now, Pat? Midway?
Through the year? Dylan Dingler is starting to hit at Toledo. And they have a catching option that they didn't have. He's really hitting. I mean, he's hitting like 300 now. He's showing some power. A real good athlete, so he's starting to come on. That's on the good news side of the equation. Max Anderson, who they took early in the draft, not doing so well at West Michigan. That's not on the good side of the equation. And Trey Cruz, who actually the shortstop at AA, has started to show some promise again. He got off to a horrific start, and his numbers are starting to pick up a little bit. So those are a couple of the trends with the system. Anyway, we enjoyed doing the podcast today. Don't forget, like us, subscribe to us, wherever you get your podcast, download us. We appreciate it. We're all about drafts, prospects in the future. We're going to have a lot of podcasts coming up here about drafts. It's our time of the season. We got two times for the NFL draft, and then, of course, we got this the summer when all the drafts happen for the other sports. And we'll keep you abreast on what's going on with the Red Wings and also with what's happening with the Tigers as time goes on. Till next time, we'll see you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a tax
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.